Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Ricky, he's been hanging on the line for a while now. Very patient tonight, Ricky, as we had a lengthy interview there with Aaron Day, the Republican presidential candidate. Ricky, what's on your mind tonight? Go ahead.
Thank you there, Brother Ian, Sister Bonnie, Brother Mark.
Thank you, Ricky.
What's on your mind, dude?
Pleasure. Ricky from the Commonwealth. Good to speak with you again.
Go ahead with your thoughts, Ricky.
Well, I had a Colt 45 revolver. In Pennsylvania, law enforcement can't keep a registry of serial numbers, but they have the ATF form, and the FFL has a computer copy and a book copy of information. So I had the serial number on my Colt removed and the barrel re-blued. Now,
is that legal?
Regardless, here's what would happen if I ever had to use it. I would point out three sections in the Constitution of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Section 8 of Article 1, the people shall be secure in their papers and things. I believe Section 20, the people have the right to protect themselves and their property. Section 21, the people have a right to bear arms in defense of themselves and the state. This shall not
be. I suspect the ATF won't give a damn about all that.
Well, that's all right, because here's the conclusion I came to.
Okay. Are you there?
Ricky? what a suspenseful cliffhanger.
Yeah, what a cliffhanger.
Well, I point this out about...
He waited 2 hours for that.
Oh, no.
Constitutions. He can call back in.
He's still there. The call's still there. He's just not there. I don't know what happened. Anyway, go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, it's
funny. Article 2A of the New Hampshire Constitution says all persons have the right to keep and bear arms in defense of themselves, their families, their property, and the state.
Yeah.
And you would think all persons would refer to persons, but the New Hampshire itself has a law that says that felons can't not only carry firearms, but they can't have a rifle, a pistol, or a shotgun, which means that since the federal government defines a weapon made after 1898 as a firearm, any weapon made prior to 1898 is not a firearm, and therefore you cannot, you would be able to possess those in most states, but in New Hampshire, they are in fact the most restrictive state in the union, from what I can tell, on felons possessing weapons specifically. So, you know, these documents, constitutions and these sorts of things, they don't mean much to those in control. And this is New Hampshire. This is the free state. This is the state that is lauded here on Free Talk Live as the state where you can go and have the most freedoms.
Did Jason Gerhardt put in a bill about that this year?
He did. He did put in a felons rights bill that would allow nonviolent felons.
Oh, sure. Got shut down, right?
To, I don't know what the status of it is. Almost certainly it would be shut down. But, you know, that said, felons generally are considered to be people.
I think what we
places.
Need in New Hampshire is just to wait out all the old, I almost said a bad word, all the old idiots. Like, there's just a bunch of old Democrats who are like, we can't have, I mean, Democrats should be on board with Jason Gerhardt's bill. I'm just assuming it's going to fail, or it did fail. And it's just the old people.
Old people are idiots. You're saying Democrats should be in favor of restoring
gun rights,
convicts' rights?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
I'll tell you this, Bonnie.
I don't mean like 50-year-olds, Mark. I mean like the 70-year-olds are in. Even the Republicans are all idiots.
So it's probably been 10 years, but about 10 years ago I went, I think it was Mark Warden who put in a bill to change the rules on felons in possession. Basically, it would allow them to hold sticks, knives.
That's when they were all 60 years old.
Weights at the end of ropes and these sorts of things. And it passed committee. It passed committee to mean that it was going to be recommended as OTP, ought to pass by the committee to the General Assembly and then perhaps go on further. And really what it was doing was just getting rid of archaic language. I mean, to be honest, do we really need language about slung shots, billies, dirks, and daggers?
Well, interestingly, as an aside, the slung shot bill came up this year. Now, it didn't have anything to do with felons.
Right.
But they did. The House did pass the bill that would legalize, what was it,
slung shots,
blackjacks,
those things that go on your knuckles,
and brass, and metallic
brass
knuckles. So the House actually passed that one. I don't know how it's going to do with the Senate.
Now that's just generally those things were outlawed.
That's correct. Possession of those things was illegal.
I'm sure it's still
unless you were hunting.
Right, right.
If you were hunting, you could have a pair of brass knuckles. Like you could just pop that deer right in the right in the mouthpiece, right? Like knock him out.
That's a real honor right there.
That's
I mean,
scary.
That's serious.
And sad.
Well, I don't understand how these people, you know, justify their own thinking, but that was the way I understood the law. Yeah. So I would love to see it undone, but it was at that point, it was voted that way to pass, and then. In the dark of night, somehow it just got turned around. It just changed.
Mm.
And, you know, maybe if I'd have pursued it over and over again. But ultimately, it's like, who cares what these people say? You know, I'm going to defend myself if I need to defend myself. And, you know, that's the way that is. And I'm going to defend my family. Because if I have the right to be free, as free as the rest of us, then I have the right to defend myself and I have the right to defend
myself. The natural right that the government didn't give you.
Right.
Indeed.
And if you keep asking these politicians for permission, you're going to keep getting the answer no. And that's just what they do. And it's a shame.
Yeah, that is true. Let's continue here. We got Dodger on the line in Michigan. Dodger, you're on Free Talk Live with Ian, Bonnie, and Mark.
Hello. I don't always listen live, but when I do, I usually call in.
Well, you probably can't listen when you're dead, so we're glad to have you. Go ahead, Dodger.
At either rate, I usually listen on delayed, but I had to call because Mark was in, and I kind of wanted, seeing Mark as kind of the one person whose logic from listening to Free Talk Live kind of made me realize I was a libertarian. I kind of wanted to pick your brain, Mark, and feel free, Ian and Bonnie, to kind of put in, but do you know who Mike Rowe is?
Yeah, he's the he's I don't know what to describe him as. He's an actor. He did the Dirty Jobs show.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah. Well, he's also big. He does scholarships for tradespeople.
Yeah.
And he does, I mean, he's big into trades, like everybody wants to go to college and work in the corner office, but who's going to build that corner office?
Mm-hmm.
I just kind of want to know what you guys think is causing kind of the wussification of the, I guess, working people. I'm a tradesperson myself, and it is so hard to get help.
Video games.
Well, I mean, it's been a long... Mark, the question was for you, but it's something we've been covering here on Free Talk Live for a while. The newest term I've heard is safetyism, and that one came from the Free Range Kids blog. But go ahead, Mark.
I think it just fundamentally comes down to people are taught that they're better than that. You know, I mean, Americans are teaching their kids, and I'm talking about at all levels.
Uh-oh. Well, that one wasn't Mark's fault. That is what they call the blue screen of death in this case.
Ruh-roh.
Yeah, I'll have to pick up the answer there on this one, and I'm trying to make a note here.
Are we still in the air, then?
Yeah, no, we're still
in the air. I mean, I'd like to hear everybody's opinion.
Yeah, I think that basically this comes down to a multi-generational approach on the part of these people who want to have a wussified group of people in the United States to essentially rule over. It came down to, over the years, you had the, what was it in school, everybody gets a ribbon, right? Like everybody wins the award. They don't have winners anymore. They, for many years, they've been trying to make everything super safe, right? So you can't have lawn darts. You can't have anything that might pose any kind of danger. You can't let your kids play on the playground. They might hurt themselves.
Lawn darts is a terrible idea.
Well, maybe, but people should be free to have them. They shouldn't be prohibited. Item. And so, you know, we've seen the sort of the rounding off of the corners of everything over time and this safety obsession, safetyism, as the lady behind the Free Range Kids blog puts it these days, which I think is an interesting term. We saw that rise up even worse with the rise of COVID, where truly everyone, you know, most people became obsessed with the idea of safety. And like, oh, well, God, be safe. You know,
I'm wondering if the whole thing didn't start a lot sooner, because I think I called and talked to the captain and Ari about this one night on the air. But I talked about how I actually in high school went to what is it, career day. Where, and then as part of that day, you take a test, and then as part of this, like, questionnaire, they ask you what you're interested in. And I always said I wanted to be a carpenter. I mean, I knew that that's what I wanted to do, but then they tried steering me, oh, no, you're really good at math. You should be an accountant. And, I spent years of my life, chasing this one career, didn't actually get into the career, started the career very late. I was probably I was in my 30s. I've been doing this about 8 years. So
carpentry or?
Just trades work. I mean, I pretty much my specialty is tile, but I had to learn carpentry. I had to learn plumbing. I mean, there are a lot of things I had to learn.
And you probably got to use math for stuff like, you know, measuring and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. They just thought because my math scores were off the chart, oh, you should sit behind a desk and become an accountant. I'm sorry, that's not what I want to do. I like working with my hands.
Didn't you end up, are you the caller that said you ended up leaving high school or leaving, like, your parents' house at 16?
17. Yeah. I emancipated myself from,
It seems like the public schools were just doing you wrong. I mean, I've heard stories like this a lot where the public schools have, tried to tell kids that they shouldn't be in the job that the kid expresses they're interested in. What is the point of that? Like, that happened to Ian as a kid.
Yeah, they did that.
His,
to me.
What's it called? School counselor told him, he's like, I want to go.
No, actually, it wasn't a counselor. They had a program called internship, and I'd heard you could get a credit or whatever, a half a credit for going and working somewhere that you wanted to work for free. And so I went there and told them what I wanted to do, and she said, oh, well,
radio.
Yeah, I wanted to go to a radio station. Oh, we had someone do that, and all they did was have him set up banners and, you know, drive the station van. And I was like, well, that's okay. I still want to do this. So I ended up not taking that, not going in that direction with that school, but I still went and got the internship anyway, even though I wasn't getting credit for it. So, that happens. And whether it's a part of some, you know, giant communist plot or what, but we got Mark is back here with us, Dodger, and unfortunately, Mark, we had a blue screen of death here. That's what cut you off.
Really?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I'm glad it wasn't my connection.
No, it wasn't you.
Makes me feel very good.
It wasn't you. Go ahead with what you were trying to say to Dodger.
Well, here's what I'll say is I have spent quite a bit of time in California and Florida, and right now those two very populous places, a person who's a contractor can write their own ticket. A person who works mm-hmm. for a contractor can basically name their own wage. You show up on time, sober, and do your job well, my God, you're gold. And, you know, I mean, there's how many people out there running around with gender studies degrees or, I don't know, a music degree or whatever it is that they have. They can't do a thing. You can start a real career that earns great money. You can start it in high school.
I really, truly think that the answer, I mean, it probably did start before this, like you're saying, with, like, smaller things like participation trophies, like Ian was saying. But I think that the real answer is porn and video games. It's just that people, especially men, those are things men are more attracted to than women, are getting their dopamine hits, and that's what Jane Unaway says, but it's true. They're getting their, like, they instead of having to work towards, you know, being popular, well-spoken, and stuff to, you know, get the dopamine hits that come along with sex, they can just pull it up on the computer, and they don't have to, you know, work on human skills or anything. They've just become, like, men my age literally just, like, gross me out. Like, they're just, like, children.
I mean, if I may interject, I'm single. I'm really not looking. I get my dopamine hits from, like, walking into, like, taking something old, tearing it apart, and putting it back together. I mean, and at the end of that job, I look at the job that I did. I mean, it's not just something that I do to go to work. It's something I love doing because at the end of the day, I'm taking and making people's stuff look beautiful. And I just don't understand. I guess you would call me a Xennial. I think that I associate more with Gen X. All of my older brothers would be. I was born in 82. My next oldest brother is 79.
You were born in 82?
82. I'm 40.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so you're right on the border there.
Yeah, and you know, all but my little brother are technically Gen Xers. So I mean, I'm right there on the cusp. I mean, I drank water out of a garden hose and got called home when the streetlights turned on.
I did too. I don't really get why that's like some kind of Gen X like meme. I did too. I drank water out.
Yeah, but you might be unusual though, Bonnie.
Really. If all my friends in my entire neighborhood would, you know, meet together and then be like, okay, the streetlights are coming on, we have to go home, like, for my entire life.
Well,
I feel like, you know, just to counter that, Bonnie, my son never had an experience like that. He didn't have a childhood like I had a childhood.
Maybe it's just richer people then, because my parents didn't have, I never had video games that were like the ones that the other kids had, stuff like that, until I was like at least like in high school. I had a flip phone until I was a senior in high school, which was so weird for people my age.
My son he didn't even get to watch videos until he was 5 years old, if at all. And it was, we grew our own food. We had pigs. I don't think he was rich.
Yeah, he grew up basically from that age in like the middle of nowhere though. Like I lived in neighborhoods with lots of kids or on military bases. So either on military bases, which are already really safe, or military towns, which are, you know, lots of, I mean, in like suburbs, you know.
Yeah, I think it's the safety comes into play on this, in so much as parents are afraid of letting their kids play with hammers and nails and circular saws and the kind of things that can hurt you. And they can hurt you. It's absolutely true.
Maybe that's different than my experience where, you know, my dad was handling power tools around me at a very young age. I think maybe I was right on the cusp, like at the very end of a generation where we actually still had shop class in middle school. I actually still have my eighth grade project that's hanging in my bathroom, still looks beautiful. And from my shop class in the eighth grade. And I just really think that, well, I mean, the trades are really lacking, you know, like you said, and we keep, the problem is I don't know exactly what, I guess, I don't know how to fix it.
I think all you can really do here, Dodger, is do your best with your own kids. I mean, I don't think you can really do much else than that, and maybe move around people that have a similar mindset. So, I mean, if your neighbor,
I've had a couple road bumps, but I'm making my way to New Hampshire.
Very good, Dodger. Here's what I would say, and thank you for the call. Thank you for bringing that topic up. I mean, if you've got neighbors, people like Jay Noon, who are raising their kids to be resilient,
and he'll help you do that with your kids too, because
right.
He's doing man camp.
He's doing man camp, and he's he is actually helping other people's kids, but obviously they have to be interested in that. For the parents that are interested in the safetyism and keeping their kids from ever getting a bump on the knee, then those are the kinds of people you want to stay away from. If they won't change their minds, if they can't be persuaded.
I think it's an interesting topic. I mean, it seems like all the men like my age, I'm 26, are just not like real men. Maybe not, I don't want to say all, but it's like a crazy amount. It's like, oh, yeah, like had a crush on this guy. Obviously, I'm talking about like before I met Ian. And then I actually talked to him. He's just like totally a pussy and a loser and like, has no motivation or anything like that. And it's like they're not real men anymore. And I have a friend. She's older than me, but she's like in her 40s. And she wants to date a guy who's like real man's man and just can't find any in Massachusetts.
I believe it.
They just don't exist.
Let's continue here with Bad Slave on the line in New Hampshire. Bad Slave, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I was hoping to talk to Aaron about his presidential run and the Department of Commerce. And I'm going to bring up the question anyway, so let's go. I wanted to ask about, the Department of Commerce was originally designed in order to develop a free trade system. In other words, commerce was to be encouraged, and that, as a result of time passing and a lot of bad politicians getting their fingers in it, they in fact went ahead and tried to destroy commerce and interfere with it.
Are you claiming that a government program actually did the exact opposite of what they told us it was going to do and be created for?
Ha ha. Anyway.
It's almost as if this is what happens almost every single time. This is the playbook.
Hang on, Bad Slave. We'll bring you back here in a moment. You can finish the point you were trying to make there. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. What does the Department of Commerce even do? I mean, I gotta say,
I'm sure what it is.
It's one of the ones I'm least familiar with. I'm sure it's all kinds of stupid crap. There's more coming up here. It's Free Talk Live.
If you have an IRA or 401k, please listen closely. My name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. Throughout my career, let's just say I've been in some hairy situations. And I believe right now the biggest threat facing Americans is they need to protect their wealth, which is exactly what I'm doing for my wife and 6 kids. And I believe the ultimate safe haven is physical gold and silver. You can protect your hard-earned retirement assets with a tax-free loophole that allows you to convert your retirement into physical gold and silver. The folks I use are Advantage Gold, and believe me, I've investigated the heck out of all types of people. Advantage Gold is the nation's highest rated gold company. They have the best process, pricing, and service. If you want to get your free gold and silver investment kit, please contact Advantage Gold right now, and you'll see how easy it is to protect yourself with precious metals. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
USA News Update. President Biden meeting with survivors of the mass shooting in Monterey Park, California on Tuesday as he takes action to curb gun violence. In a speech, the president laid out the details of his new executive order on gun control.
My executive order directs my attorney general to take every lawful action possible to move us as close as we can to universal background checks without new legislation.
Biden added that Congress should act to implement universal background checks and ban assault weapons and high-capacity magazines. A top Senate Republican says Russia's interception of a U.S. drone over the Black Sea should serve as a wake-up call to isolationists in the U.S. Senator Roger Wicker of Mississippi added the U.S. should treat Russian President Vladimir Putin as the threat he truly is. One of the Russian jets flew in front of the drone and dumped fuel. A jet then hit and damaged the propeller of the U.S. drone. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperT.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Location somewhere on the planet. You can join us online anytime you want over at freetalklive.com. If you appreciate the work that we do here and you want to help support the show directly, then you can do that, as over about 130 of our listeners have done. And I think it'd be nice to get to the number 300, because the average, it seems like, is usually around $10 for donors to the AMPS program. So thank you to everybody that signed up. We only ask for $5 a month, so if that's all you can afford, then we certainly would appreciate that. Just go to amps.freetalklive.com. You can sign up as Lynette Warren has done. She is a silver level supporter, which means $5 a month from Lynette. It helps us advertise, market, promote, and support Free Talk Live. It helps us do the mission we do here 7 nights a week. And, you know, I'd be fine if we never had any advertisers again on Free Talk Live, if we could just get enough listener direct support. So if you appreciate what we do, talking about liberty, peace, freedom, cryptocurrency, alternatives to the current status quo every single night, then please join us over at amps.freetalklive.com. That's amps.freetalklive.com. Bad Slave, you were calling in tonight about this Department of Commerce. I'm sure they're bad guys. They're part of the federal government. What do they supposedly do? I got to admit, I'm not that familiar with them.
They regulate too many things.
Okay.
One of the objectives that that Trump went into that I was exactly on board with was a removal of unnecessary regulation. And he says that he and according to his claim is that, you know, thousands and thousands of regulations got removed. In other words, he said also that if they wanted to add a regulation, they had to get rid of two.
I remember all that talk, but I kind of forgot about it. And it's weird that if he did get rid of thousands and thousands of regulations, it must have not even made a dent.
Of course not.
Well, the regulations that exist, and I would go so far as to say the lion's share, beyond most, but way most of regulations that exist aren't laws. They're things that are created by government agencies that, you know, they're just decided. And this I find to be very antithetical to a democracy or a republic or anything like this. Both of these terms, demo and public, both of these terms suggest that the people are somehow involved. But when you have an unaccountable government agency creating these rules, the people aren't involved at all. Yeah, no, like, one voted on the people that voted on this.
Who voted to make cryptocurrency be part of the laws that, you know, they went after Ian for that were created before cryptocurrency was invented? Or who voted for, you know, SEC to decide that library coin is a token? It's like nobody voted for that. Just these people decided a thing, and then they went to the government, and the government's like, yep, it looks like you decided this thing. Crazy.
And you're, I think the Commerce Department originated things like the DEA and probably ATF. These are all just kind of regulations that grew into, some set of bad law that is doing is hindering freedom. Nobody looks at this stuff, and it just keeps growing and growing. And, you know,
the only way out is to get out. I mean, they're never going to change this thing at the federal level. It doesn't matter who you elect.
Yeah. I mean, even if somebody, the people elected got rid of thousands and thousands of these regulations, it didn't do anything for me in my day-to-day life.
Of course not. Hey, thanks, Bad Slate, for the call tonight. Appreciate it. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. David is in New Mexico. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, David.
Yes, in New Mexico, where the men are manly and the sheep are nervous.
Okay. What's on your mind?
What Mark said. To Mark's point, it's been my position for years now that, and you can give Mark credit for saying it in so many words, what we have to do is what he said, and that is directly interpret to the people calling themselves the government, directly interpret the founding documents ourselves, tell them what it means, and then tell them that's what we're doing, and then do it in enough numbers, which is not that many, because, however many people that are going to come to enforce something, all you need to do is outnumber them, 2-1, which ain't much because there ain't many of them. And then you just do what the founding documents say and take no lip.
What does that even mean? I mean, that. What are you trying to say?
That it means exactly what I said. Mark, why don't you explore? Mark, can you tell me back to me what I just said?
It sounded to me like what you said was that if you have enough people in a given geographic area that will support you, that the government agents won't come around. And we saw something similar to that here in Keene, New Hampshire. I'm not a big fan of outside the system activism, but I will say that when
within the system. Let me just interject and I'll shut up. That is within the system because the system is the founding documents. The system has been bastardized by the people calling themselves the government, and they are unlawful, illegitimate frauds.
I wouldn't disagree with that. So the what happened in this circumstance was some police arrested somebody for smoking pot in Central Square while a whole bunch of people were smoking. The people who then walked from the Central Square to the police station, smoked in the lobby until they released those people. I don't know what happened to them as far as lawsuits or anything, but people going to the police station smoking in the lobby is pretty epic.
Yeah, yes. There's absolutely nothing that the people calling themselves the authorities can do about it if you just slightly outnumber them and just refuse to do anything other than what is allowed by the Constitution, not what they're telling you, because that's not allowed by the Constitution.
Yeah, it's crazy how judges, they just believe that they can do whatever they want, even though it's not the way that it's supposed to work. Like, today I went to my arraignment for my traffic ticket, and I pretty much failed a Mark Stevens script because the guy really threw me off. I asked him, am I supposed to get a fair trial? He said yes. And I said, can I get a fair trial if there are any conflicts of interest? And he said, I'd have to know what the conflict of interest was. And I said, well, just answer the question. I mean, I'm not making an argument that there is one. I'm just asking if there was, would I be getting a fair trial? And he just repeated himself. So I was like, okay. And I just said, who do you represent? And he said, I don't represent the state or myself or anyone. I don't represent anyone. So it just really threw me off. And he also never told me that he entered a not guilty plea for me, so I didn't get to ask on his behalf. Anyways, all I'm trying to say is you're supposed to get a fair trial, but it's a big sham. Like, he represents the state. The state's the one prosecuting me. That's a conflict of interest.
Well, he says he didn't represent the state, but who
signs his paychecks? Yeah.
Well, I pointed this out in a trial that I had some years ago, is that the police officer was there on the stand representing the state, and the police officer got to bring his gun in. I had my pocket knife taken at the door. So tell me there's not a collusion between the judicial and the executive branch here. And, you know, like the things that the cops said, it was obvious that he didn't remember the stop. He didn't know what color my car was, for instance. He didn't know how many doors it had. I mean, these are pretty basic things. If he really remembered the stop, which was months before, how could he remember? Then, then he would have rattled those things off. But the judge is like, I'm here for public safety, and whatever the police officer says just goes. So he lets him keep his gun, and he believes him when he's pretty clear he doesn't remember anything.
Right. So, and let me, Bonnie illustrated my point without knowing it. She was talking about the particulars of what they were doing to her as compared to how it should go down. In other words, they were playing a game on her, and that's what the government does. The people calling themselves the government, that's what they do. They turn it into a game. They don't follow the instructions inside the box on the game called the founding documents. They play the game according to their own rules, which are illegal, and then they get too caught up in those rules. And what we need to do is call them on it. You are playing a game that's not authorized, and we refuse to play your game anymore.
Thanks for the call tonight, David. I appreciate it. Well, again,
I think I did understand what I was saying.
Mass civil disobedience is very powerful, as you pointed out, Mark. I mean, it's an amazing thing to see happen. Unfortunately, it just doesn't, you know, we don't have the kind of numbers for it, I mean, to keep it sustainable. And it's
you don't have the kind of time for it either. You said yourself that the best thing you could do was opt out and leave. And I'll tell you what, if you want freedom, what you need to do is you need to look around the world and find the freedom that's going to best. Some place has your top three freedoms already. Go find them.
Oh, he meant opt out and leave the union, I see. Yeah, I was like,
well,
I don't remember.
Yeah, I know what you mean, Mark. You're talking about individual leaving the United States. I'm talking about those who want to stay here. Their best bet is to secede, is to support a secession movement, migrate to a state where there is a strong secession movement already. So if you're a conservative, get down to Texas. If you're a liberal, get out to California. If you are a libertarian, get to New Hampshire and start and help these guys, help these secession movements create those freer places. For those that want to get away from it all, if that's something.
Doesn't that sound crazy to you first? I mean, just
no,
stop
not
for
at
a
all.
Second.
Not
but
at
listen
all.
To me. Like, it's like you're telling inevitable. People in East Germany in 1950, hey, just move to the part of East Germany that's that you like best. Get the hell out of East Germany. They're going to put a wall up, and then you're not going to be able to leave. And if you think that you're going to secede your little tiny itty bitty state, I'm sorry, it's really not very likely.
Well, we did it before.
Maybe the government will fall apart. What's that?
We've done it before, and we can do it again. New Hampshire did it originally back in the day. So
there weren't people that were like, I mean, not enough people were like standing up against the government in Germany. I feel like if there was some contingent of people that were, if they moved to one spot, they probably could have, you know, staved it off for a while. But that
any
didn't happen.
Plan
I mean,
that involves
happen,
other
so
people
really...
doing what you want them to do is destined to fail. The
it's not just other people
do...
doing what I want them to do. Ian's saying, if this is what you want, this is the smart way to go about it. He's not saying, hey, this is what I want you to do. I know you're not even considering it. It's literally people who are like, I want a conservative utopia, and they're up here in New Hampshire. Just go away. Just go to Texas. It already exists.
Mark, I know you think everybody is like you and can live life as a digital nomad, but not everybody can. Like our caller earlier, Dodger, he wants to do construction for a living.
Yep.
And he probably likes getting paid well for construction. I suspect that if he moved to Mexico or Honduras, you know, he's probably not going to get the same kind of pay that he currently gets for doing that kind of work. Similarly, people that are in other different, you know, industries that feel like they're tied to those industries, they may not get the same kind of living that they're looking for. You know, if you're a great waitress and you work at a high-end restaurant, you're probably not going to make that much money being a great waitress in, you know, South American or Central American country.
I think that's a really great point. But my question to you would be, will you make as much money in New Hampshire? If a whole bunch of really great contractors move to New Hampshire, they're not going to do very well.
There's not going to be a whole bunch. You and I know that. There's only a very select group of people who are willing
My experience in New Hampshire is they charge you a lot and just never show up.
Well, then that means they need more contractors. Look, there's never going to be an everything situation or an everyone situation. We need the cream of the crop. We need the best of the best. We don't need some average schmo to move to New Hampshire. We need the top of the line, best activists who are willing to work towards more independence and more freedom. And for those that just want to get away, and then there are options out there. I know, Mark, you're working on something in Honduras. I don't know how that's coming along. I don't know if you want to say anything about it, but you are welcome to.
Right now, what I would say to people, if they want to experience a libertarian place, that the places morazan.city and prospera.hn, those are websites, morazan.city and prospera.hn, are the freest places on the planet as far as a libertarian goes. These are private cities with their own rules. City is a strong term for what they are, but these are private places. And I know you can live in Morazan. I can't say for sure whether the first people have moved into Prospera yet, but they certainly are coming along well on those, condominiums that they're building.
Oh, okay, cool.
I'm working on a project too that's taking a little longer because of, the difficulties of building buildings in places that are not free.
So there's problems in Honduras just like there were in Chesterfield?
Well,
different problems?
No, Ian, what I told you is to find the place that you would, for your top three freedoms.
Yeah, I got you.
And
I
be
know
free
that
way.
Having problems building.
I'm telling you, if you want to build a thing, you're not going to be free.
Well, actually, there's some towns in New Hampshire that have no zoning.
Yeah, if you want to call it a town.
Oh, well, whatever.
But they have building codes.
What would you call Utila?
As I understand it, in New Hampshire.
Is that a town?
As I understand it, in the towns with no zoning, there's no one to enforce a building code. Like, you can just build whatever you want.
Build whatever you want and let the ice fall on your head.
What about people what about the people who don't want to live in a condominium and want like a farm?
Then don't move, Bonnie. If you want to live in a frozen tundra, stay there, for God's sakes.
I don't want to live in a extremely hot place either. I'm from San Antonio.
And you're not going to be free in New Hampshire. And
if you can't
your
grow
entire
your own
lifetime,
food, you're not
Bonnie,
be
wait, Bonnie. In your entire lifetime, you will not be as free in New Hampshire as you will be right now by moving to one of these private cities in Honduras. You're not going
to
have
my condominium that I wouldn't want to be in, away from my family, who probably.
There are
come.
Three different locations I've talked about right here. If those locations don't please you, then you can do another one.
There are three condominium places. Like, I don't want to live in any of them.
They're not.
None of them I can have my own, like, farm and huge backyard with my dogs running around, can't I?
Yeah, sure. You want to come build a farm? Let's talk about it.
I don't think that is there right now.
Well, no, I don't have a farm to sell you. It's true.
Okay, but you said you're having problems.
You can't just say you can give it to me if it doesn't exist.
You said you're having problems building things.
Yeah, that's
what
I'm saying.
What kind of building? You said you're having problems building things, Mark. What kind of problems are you having? Is it governmental problems or what? Or are you just having
trouble? It's mostly contractor problems. Okay. The buildings, there's just so many people building. The good contractors are taken.
Did you pay them and they didn't show up?
I don't know. I don't feel like I can trust the people that will come. I didn't pay the people in New Hampshire and didn't show up. They just didn't show up to get paid.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Just to be clear.
I don't know why I thought you said pay them. But
I had a crackhead contractor in Florida, too. So, I mean, contractors, you're going to have trouble with those anywhere you go. You got to find a good one. And like you said, the good ones are always working. So
yeah, I think that very much in many places around the world, you're going to find when you show up as an American, they look at you like, huh. It's time to hustle this guy. So you have to, find a way to kind of get around that. And we're working on that.
Okay.
Right now, I just talked today to a guy that's going to have, you know, that can ship tiny houses out there, and we can build a bunch of tiny houses and, make a free place. But I'd point out that right now, anyone who wants to can move for like $300 a month and live in Morazan.city. It's not a condominium.
Right, but
they've
got it's not just anyone. It's somebody who can work remotely, right? Because, I mean, what are they going to do if they can't work remotely?
Right outside the most dangerous city in the world for women, by the way.
Oh, what's that one called? What's that city?
The sea.
Are you talking about Chaloma or are you talking about San Pedro Sula?
Chaloma. Okay.
Yeah, it's, it's not perfect.
Well,
that's
$300
true.
Does include paying a security staff. So as long as you don't leave the Morazan.city, you're probably going to be fine.
It's like your own private prison.
Yeah, I guess you could look at it that way. Some people might.
Like your house.
I can leave my house. I never have felt unsafe in Keene except
He's
for the
referring
cops.
To me. In this case. No one's saying that this is a free place, Mark. The Free State Project is a project. The idea is to make it more free to come here and back up the people that do love liberty and to scare away the people that don't like liberty. And we're seeing that happen. We're seeing people posting online. The Free State Project just shared recently a post by someone on Reddit who said they moved to New Hampshire 16 years ago and they're now moving. As soon as their lease comes up, they're moving back to Massachusetts because they're sick and tired of seeing people carrying guns around here in New Hampshire. And the fact is, that's a real thing. If you want to make sure you scare away these know-it-all leftists from New Hampshire, then just start packing heat everywhere you go. Don't wear a mask. You know, create a place.
You can't do that, right?
Well, I'm a felon now, Mark, so no, I can't do that.
Right. You
I'm
can.
Referring to people who, the supermajority of people who
You
are
can
not
go to police. Honduras and carry a gun if that's what you want to do.
Is that legal?
What Ian wants to do. Ian didn't carry a gun before the
Rarely.
Raid at our
I mean,
house.
I have. I
yes,
have in
did.
The past, but on rare occasion, though. I wasn't a regular open carrier, but I have done some open carry activism here. And I do.
But you also carried a gun when it wasn't open carry, too.
I mean, I'm not going to talk about that, but but anyway, yeah, I certainly don't do it now because, well, I've joined the ranks of the felons.
Right.
as you have, Mark. But anyway, that's not the point. The point isn't about me. It's about the movement of freedom-loving people, many of whom are not yet felons, and they can come here and they can exercise that right. A lot of people don't have that freedom in other states, and as soon as you cross the border into New Hampshire, you do gain the ability to open and concealed carry without asking for permission, and that scares away a lot of the people that are status.
I've been watching this, Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of New Hampshire by
NBC. NBC documentary series. It's NBCBoston.com/freestate. You can watch them for free online. They're great so far. What have you been thinking, Mark?
I think I've watched the first 8 or 9 of them.
Okay.
And, you didn't watch the Crypto 6 one yet because you're
haven't gotten to it yet.
Yeah, you're in that
I know.
Really nice.
Good.
Looking interview and everything.
I'm a beautiful man. So what I saw when I watched this was I saw these they found a handful of liberals to sort of stand against the Free Staters. But they look so pathetic. I just can't help but saying, as a person who doesn't, the Free State Project isn't totally my thing. I support it and I like it and I hope that people are successful, but I just don't believe in fighting for freedom. It doesn't make sense for me. But these liberals, they're like, and they're coming here and they're running as Republicans and Democrats, misrepresenting what they believe to people. They don't even believe the party platform. They just look so pathetic.
And what is the common thing?
Why don't you just move someplace and be happy, lady?
They will.
What is the common theme among all of them except, like, two? They're all really freaking old.
Yeah, that's true as well.
All they need to do is wait 10 years and they'll die.
Well, I mean, some of them are going to die off. Some of them are going to move
away. Florida's full of old people that have moved from up north.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, somebody can leave any time.
We are blessed in the quality of our enemies here in New Hampshire, I think.
Old and frail.
Well, I mean, there's that. Some of them are younger. Xandra's younger. She's probably in her early 40s or whatever.
I forgot about her. But she's also frail because her heart could go any minute.
But a lot of these people have moved here. And a lot of the bad guys in this documentary series, the main baddie, her name is Xandra Hawkins. She's in the majority of the episodes, although
they couldn't find anybody else.
It's hard to get people.
Dozens and dozens and dozens of Free Staters.
Yeah.
You can't find dozens of people that will spend any kind of time to fight the Free Staters.
Well, I mean, that may be true, Mark, but there's a lot of them that just aren't willing to go on camera. They're paranoid.
They're just like stupid Twitter haters, though. Are they really doing anything?
There's a lot of Free Staters that are too paranoid to get on camera,
that's true
too.
As well. Yeah, that was the thing.
Probably even more as a percentage.
Yeah, I didn't get interviewed. Well, I was on the cameras a lot, but not really on purpose, just because I was around.
Well, you chose to not. You didn't want to be interviewed.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I didn't want to be interviewed.
And that was one of the takeaways that the producers said they were kind of surprised at, was that on both sides of this, they had a tough time finding people who were willing to talk. Now, I think that they had an easier time with the Free Staters because the Statists are notoriously paranoid. They constantly are worried about, whether or not they're going to be being interviewed by an actual Free Stater.
Yep.
And I'm not speculating on this. I know this is a fact because that's what happened with the Monadnock Showdown program here in Keene when they tried to approach to stop Free Keeners to get them to come and debate me on a debate show. And they got super paranoid and they had to have like a meeting of all the founders of Stop Free Keene. And then they had to, determine whether or not the hosts of the show were secretly Free Staters. And then ultimately they chose to not appear unless they could appear all by themselves.
Which was defeating the purpose of the show, which is supposed to be two opposing groups.
Anyway, out of time tonight. Mark, hopefully we'll be back next week on Tuesday. We'll see you online in the meantime on freetalklive.com. Join our social media platform at social.freetalklive.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.